When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
Home Club for details.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets. Always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Stop. Before you consider taking drastic measures to lose weight, like GLP-1 injections, consider Golo. Golo's release is easier than injections and fad diets. No need to jump through insurance hoops. It's simple. You take one release supplement with each meal. Golo's release supplement contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals that target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. With Golo, you follow the Golo for Life plan, where you'll safely and effectively control sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, allowing you to feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. With Golo, you get an effective and affordable weight loss solution that's clinically proven. Because controlling glucose, maintaining healthy insulin levels, and saying goodbye to starvation dieting is the secret to lasting weight loss and wellness. Visit Golo.com to get started today. That's Golo.com. Go to Golo.com to join the 5 million people who have switched to Golo as a better way to lose weight. Visit Golo.com today.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
60 minutes, at least 5 teachers in the Ashanti and Bono regions have been arrested for various examination malpractices on the first day of the basic education certificate examinations. We'll get to hear from WAEC, which has joined forces with the NIB to pursue more individuals sharing exam papers online.
Arrests have been effected. Thankfully, personnel of the National Intelligence Bureau were the ones who apprehended the Bekwai teachers who were attempting to help them. We've also picked up two teachers from Chinigini Senior High School Center B.
We have details as a number of pregnant girls and lactating mother were not left out. Meanwhile, number of BEC candidates see a significant drop for the second time in 3 years as 560,000 people sit for the exams today. Also tonight, NDC flag bearer criticizes Chief Justice Getrude Tokono for recommending 5 justices to the Supreme Court, promising to cap the Supreme Court justices to 15 if he's elected.
And so the issue of capping the Supreme Court is not for the Chief Justice to say. We will resurrect the constitutional review process when I become president. And when we do that, we will put it to the Ghanaian people whether we should retain the 15, whether we should reduce it, or whether we should increase it.
Meanwhile, majority in parliament have hit out at critics, insisting there is nothing wrong with the timing of the recommendation.
But the argument which we in the majority caucus disagree with is the argument of timing. An institution like the judiciary, with its constitutional mandate to deliver justice, is not bound by election timetable of the country.
We have the very latest advice also from the Attorney General's Department justifying the decision of the Chief Justice. Also coming up.
Why would I scrap the office of the OSP? I won't. It is an addition to anti-corruption fights. And indeed, the people who set up the OSP office today are the ones trying to remove the special prosecutor. And they are the ones who are insulting the special prosecutor more than anybody else.
That's the former President Mahama promising to strengthen the OSP rather than scrap it as he commits to the fight against corruption and dares the government to prosecute him if they have any evidence of corruption against him.
In business, we have details on mid-year budget review as Finance Minister Dr. Muhammad Amin Adam works to present estimates to Parliament in the fourth week of this month.
And in sports, mixed reactions greet Joe Mahama's plan to avoid the construction of new stadium facilities if elected, with some insisting the country still need better ones.
And also tonight, who replaces Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh as NPP opens nomination for Mayor South parliamentary seat? Will take you there live. Also in a national science and maths quiz this evening, Ola Girls SHS failed to qualify to nationals of the NSMQ for the first time after a shocking defeat to newbies Peje Senior High School.
I'm so down. And I'm feeling so bad.
What went wrong?
I don't actually know, but I think we didn't do our work well. We didn't prepare well. So we'll go back to do our work well.
And we have the one of the qualifiers where Awudome and Zion College have booked their slots with over 70 points each. But they're setting Ola with a certain voice in the background, laughing at her own school, have bowed out. Heads bowed indeed. You want to share your thoughts with us here on Newsnight 055-111-1997. I'm looking forward to that particular story here on Newsnight and more, including the BEC we started today. And that's where we start tonight before we talk about recommendations of what we've heard already on the very controversial matter of the Supreme Court justices that have been rolling on, which we are now hearing also from both the former president and the majority in parliament. We'll come to that controversial study, but let's stick with the BEC for a while longer, because at least 5 teachers in Bekwai, in Ashanti region, and in Jinijini in the Bono have been arrested for various examination malpractices on just the Thursday of the basic education certificate examination. Over 560,000 students are taking part in this year's BEC across the country. WAEC earlier served notice they will not hesitate to arrest and sanction teachers, invigilators, and parents who may try to interfere with the ongoing exams.
We'll get to hear from the head of public affairs at WAEC, John Kapi, on the number of infractions recorded shortly. But first, let's take you across the country for an assessment of the first day of this exams. And we'll start from the Ashanti region, and where we are told 2 pregnant girls and 1 nursing mother sat for the exams. Love FM's Clinton Yeboah joins us on the line with details. So, Clinton, I'm curious. Let's start with the pregnant girls and that lactating mother. How did they manage? Hello, Clinton.
Yes, MFA. So on the first day of the basic education certificate examination, you know, it wasn't so difficult to sight the young girls parading the examination centers in the Bekwai municipality. And when you enter the rooms that they were having the examination, you could see the sweating mothers struggling to forge through the examination papers, hoping to reproduce what they have learned. Some of them that we engaged said they were very, very distressed, and but they had to force. In fact, it even got to a point where one of the pregnant ladies became due for delivery. And so she was rushed to the CHIP compound at Ofoase Kokobe.
I can give birth this month, but I am sure I will pass. Other girls need to be careful.
Next month, Nemanya 18.
So that's the details from Bekwai Clinton. Where else did you visit, and what would you say was the situation there?
All right, so I've visited three stations, three centers, the Ofoase Kokobe Teacher Center, and also the Anyang Kwanta SDA School, which had a total number of 257 registered candidates, with one of them being a nursing mother and four of them being absent.
Well, that's my colleague Clinton Yeboah there giving us a situation in the Ashanti region. Let's head to Ho in the Volta region, where one student out of the blue lost his ability to speak and couldn't write. Ivy Setoji witnessed that and joins us on the line. What happened, Ivy?
Yeah, so what happened was, according to the father and the headmaster of the school, that's the Maoli Basic School, the boy took ill 3 weeks ago. They took him to the hospital, and according to the doctors, nothing was wrong with him. But then he started behaving strangely. He just sat down without telling anyone, without talking to anyone. So they brought him to the center today, hoping he was going to write, because he's one of the best students in the school, only for him to just sit there and doing nothing. He couldn't even write his name, according to the headmaster. So the father said they suspect spiritual attack. So after the time I was leaving, after the first paper, they took him to spiritually, so a church, to pray for him. But he was not able to the center for the second paper. The invigilators are hoping that tomorrow he's able to get back to write. And meanwhile, two students were also involved in an accident. One died on the spot, and one critically sick at the North Town district, that's Volo, when they were seeing their sister off yesterday in preparation for their exams, who came to visit them at the Volo school. So aside that, the census, everything went on peacefully aside the incident.
Well, Ivy, you've also been interacting with authorities, especially with the first incident that we're talking about, where out of the blue the boy couldn't speak and write. What have they been telling you as to what will happen?
Well, according to the regional director, I spoke with him in his office. He said the issues of spirituality, they cannot do anything about it. That's Francis Agbemadi. He said he's going to write, he was writing a report to the YEC and the director general to speak to the master to see what exactly they can do for the child. For now, they are hoping that they get he gets back to the campus or the center tomorrow to write the other papers.
The information has got to us, but spiritual issues are very difficult to explain, except that we heard the boy was unable to speak, and the mind was unable to work, and for that matter, he was unable to write the paper. But we are here to investigate, and then also to send, ask the parents to send the boy to the hospital for investigation to be made as to what has caused it.
He was sent to the hospital and nothing was wrong with him.
We have different levels of hospitals. At times, if the scientific aspect is unable to work, there is also the need for psychologists to also, clinical psychologists to also work on him. The writing of the paper this year, the regulations forbid sending papers to patients to write at the hospital. The only thing we can do is to write reports and attach it to his paper.
Let me take you to the UT region's Gwan constituency, where my colleague Prince Kwame Kudugan spoke to two headmasters who visited the St. Mary Seminary Senior High School there. And he said the lack of resources, including textbooks and inadequate teachers, it made it difficult for them to prepare the students for this particular exams.
In real sense, the center should be given to every school or a particular town. In our town like this, we have two schools, two GHS, EP, basic, then DE. But now we don't have center there, and we have to be conveyed to this place. Imagine the up and down, the nature of the bad road, and the students, in a way, they are stressed before even coming here.
Well, you also interacted with the students. They are rather very hopeful and confident that they will succeed in the exams.
But know that our village, there is no light, but we are well prepared because we know what we are looking for. So, as at times, know that that place is a village, but we have been wake up early in the morning, come to studies every evening after school.
I'm a bit nervous because this is one curriculum. The government has changed the system of schooling, and we don't even know the subjects that are coming. Like, we don't even have past questions to learn on because it's new curriculum. So I'm feeling a bit nervous.
How prepared are you?
I'm well prepared. If only what I learned would come, because we don't know what to come. This is the first batch, and we have no past questions to move.
Well, in the Greater Accra region, my colleague Samefa Rejoice spoke with some optimistic students who are hopeful of passing with flying colors.
The English went very well. The questions were on point, and the format was very good. I noticed that prior to the examination, we were given some English sample questions that we were supposed to do. But instead of using that one, we rather use the old format. So it was the questions were familiar to me.
So it was fine. I didn't actually expect anything difficult, but I had encouragement before I went to write. So I think everything went fine. English is all about using, you know, your brain and everything. So I think it went okay. English wasn't easy. It was solvable. But the rest of the papers, I don't know. But we are praying and we are hoping that everything will go well.
It was okay, apart from the essay part, but then overall everything was fine. But it was quite easy. It wasn't as complicated as I thought it would be. So I'm just hoping for the best.
I want to bring in John Kapi. He's the head of public affairs at WAEC, joins us on the line right now. Mr. Kapi, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. We're hearing of some arrests today. What happened?
Good evening, thanks for having me. So, our monitoring agents at Jinejine in the Bono region accosted two invigilators who had in their possession mobile phones which they had used in taking snapshots of the questions. They had also received answers that they were probably intending to send to the candidates, and so their phones were seized from them. And then they were arrested and handed over to the police. Now, in at Anyankonta in the Ashanti region also, the National Intelligence Bureau officers arrested three invigilators who had also in their possession answers to some of the questions. They had phones on them as well. And I guess the intention they had was to give these answers to the children in the examination center, in the examination hall. So they also were picked up and then they've been handed over to the police. So far, these are the arrests that have been reported to us.
Across the country, how many are we talking about?
So far, we've reported five. But then we are still collecting reports from the various centers across the country. As and when we update our records, we'll make the media also aware of it.
And these five, you have to replace them, but also put in place measures to ensure that the others do not repeat same. Trusting your own measures that you put in place?
Well, in fact, for these people, we can only appeal to their conscience, because what we can do is to brief them and tell them, this is what we expect of you, but they go and do the contrary. So what we simply do is replace them, but admonish the rest of them, to be up and doing, to live.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I know you also had a word of caution to parents who may also be facilitating this. Is this something that you picked up on also now that the exams are underway?
Yeah, actually, I was monitoring some audios that we had intercepted where they have made the children contribute some money apparently to be given to the exams officer in the district. And then also to the invigilators who are going to be actually in the classrooms, so that when the exam starts and they get the questions out to them, they will answer and send same to these invigilators who will then pass it on to the children. So we have been able to zone in on the people, and our investigative teams are working on it probably to accost them and then, you know, find out their side of the story as well.
I mean, fascinating stuff. So this, what, the children themselves are facilitated by parents contributing monies to influence invigilators?
When it comes to contributions, obviously, we know that these children are still too young to make money of their own. So they probably may have told their parents, our teachers are willing to assist us, so they've asked us to pay this much. There are others also that we've intercepted information that they have to pay 300 CDs under the pretext of making T-shirts and all manner of things for them. And these monies are paid by parents. You know, so our appeal to parents is to avoid, you know, drawing their children into some of these things because the consequences are dire. I mean, if anybody or any of these children is found culpable, I mean, they will have their papers cut off. And for me, it is sad that at this stage we push them to this level. Probably on their own, they would not have decided to do what these parents or guardians may have pushed them to do.
And I presume you're tracking down these parents who may be behind these accumulation of funds to try and influence the exams through foul means. You're going to be tracking them down.
Oh, certainly, we are working around it. And as and when we're able to effect any arrest, we'll ensure that everybody's aware that this is what, you know, some parents have done, for which we have also taken the actions that we've taken.
Yeah. Overall, though, today, how has it been for the exams across the country, from WAEC's point of view?
Well, generally, by our assessment, we think that everything went well. Distribution of material went well. Usually for the first days, when they are routing, sometimes they get the routing wrong, and so materials get to some centers a little later than we expect. Otherwise, every center had questions. Everybody was able to write the exam as expected. There were cases of reports of some pregnant, I think I heard you mention that earlier, pregnant candidates and some lactating mothers were writing. But those are issues that we've come across over the years.
And what's the special arrangement for when you have instances like that at an exam center?
Well, you mean the issue of pregnant?
Yeah, exactly. In this case, for example, this young woman had to be rushed to the hospital for what we believe to be, she may have been in labor. What are there any protocols around that? Can she return and write the paper? Or will you make special provision for them?
Yeah, usually what we do is we allow them, when they are going to the hospitals, we ask that they have police escort so that they are not, you know, given any opportunity above those who are in the classroom. But when they are well and they want to come back and continue, they are allowed to come back and continue. They are not stopped from writing.
Very well. We are grateful. That's the head of public affairs of WAEC there, Mr. John Kapi. And of course, we'll be interacting with him through all these exams. As long as this goes on until it's over, then we'll get more from him. But we've been talking about some significant drop in figures in terms of the number of candidates that have been writing the basic education certificate exams. We've seen a significant drop, second time in 3 years. And my colleague, Michael Ashali, together with the Joy News research team, they've been monitoring this and digging up a number of figures on this. What are we learning, Michael?
MFA, let's start right from 2017, when we know that access to the senior high school was relatively free, so more people were inclined to go to school. So in 2017, we had 468,000 people go to school. That rose by about 40,000, 509,000 in 2018, then again up 517 in 2019. By 2020, it had gone to 571. That is almost 60,000 jump. Then in 2021, it just rose just about 100 students, 5,700 students. Then in 2022, we saw a slight dip from 572,000 to 552. And then in 2023, it rose by almost 50,000 students to 602,000 students. Then in 2024, what we have seen is that it's dropped by about 30,000 students, which is now 570,000 students. So right from last year, 602,000, we are seeing 570,000. That is for the candidates. Mm. But in terms of percentages, that would be just a 5% drop in it. But it's quite significant when we talk about the next set of data that we have. So we looked at what possibly could be the reason. So we sought to interrogate the document from the Ghana Education Service and then the Ministry of Education. What we found was that if you look at JHS completion rate, and this will be that the ministry itself is looking at how many students went into junior high schools at a particular year. So for those in junior high school writing now, 3 years ago when they were getting into school, we will know. So we looked at that, how many got into school and how many managed to write the exams. As of 2017, we know that it was a 75% rate of completion. So 75% of students who went into JHS 1 wrote the BEC at the time. Then in 2018, that went up 78.8%, 3% jump. 2019, 1% jump, 79%. And then in 2020, which corresponds with the data that we've gotten, 77.5% had dropped by 2%. Okay. And then in 2021, same for the data we had, significant rise from 77 to 83%. As for the last data that we could find on the page in terms of rate of completion of JHS, it was 80.5%. I dropped 3% from the previous year's one.
And I'm sure you've been analyzing the data together with the team, and knowing that we've had a population increase over that period that you talk about, it raises a number of questions. What exactly could be accounting for what we're saying?
Well, MFA, the reasons could be a lot, but we also know that the Ghana Education Service, together with the Ministry of Education, have been coming up with a lot of programs to try and encourage people like girls who were pregnant prior to or during their period in school to try and encourage them to write the exam to finish school. Mm-hmm. So, and we have seen clearly from the reports we've gotten from the grounds that many of them are inclined to write. So the exact reasons you may not be able to tell from where I sit, and the data, the documents you've been looking at didn't specifically tell why in those specific years there was a dip. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure that in the coming days, when the Ministry of Education, which we tried to reach out to but didn't go through, together with the Ghana Education Service, may be able to give us some concrete reasons for this for this drop.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael. Well, let's check on the Executive Director, Africa Education Watch, Kofi Asare, on this particular significant drop of 30,000. Mr. Kofi Asare, I'm sure you're able to help in terms of finding out what exactly could account for this drop.
Good evening, and good evening to your audience. If you study carefully the trajectory of the WASI participation rate, you realize that in the past 10 years, the numbers have been growing year on year by an average of about 4.7%. Okay? And that's the average. Yes, the lowest was negative 3.4%. I think that one happened in the COVID year. And then the highest was in 2018 at 8.9. Now, last year we had 8.7, the second highest in 10 years. You realize that these two are outliers, you know, very, very high and far from the average in the past 10 years. Our research indicated that last year the major reason for the 8.9% leap was because mainly Form 2 students and some Form 1 students and a few instances were registered to write a BEC. And so, I recall that the GAS issued a statement emphasizing that BEC was for only Form 3 students. And so, it was not consistent with their policies for schools to allow Form 1 or Form 2 students to write for BEC. And so, I'm not surprised that this year we've seen a reduction in the number of candidates, partly, probably as a result of the enforcement of that guideline
you will not see formal and informed children writing the BEC. That's why we believe the number has dipped, and not necessarily that some three students have not been able to return for the BEC. We don't believe so.
And not also because we've had a number of school dropouts, right?
No, because the dropout trend, the core survival trend between the percentage of children who are in kindergarten one and end up completing junior high school three has been around 34-35% in the past 10 years. There's been no significant change in the core survival, and so we don't have data to suggest that it is because of any dropout. We strongly believe that the directive the DNS issued is being complied with by their schools.
Thank you so much for helping with that education on this. And that's Kofi Asare, Executive Director of the Africa Education Watch.
There's a big question that is pitching the incumbent government against the former one, and in between that, judges also, to cap or not to cap. Mm-hmm. This is a question that the Supreme Court is currently embroidering following the Chief Justice's decision to recommend five justices for appointment to the Supreme Court. Yesterday, we heard from John Dramani Mahama, who has been declaring his own position on the subject, insisting that he will put this before all of us for a referendum if he is elected on December 7th. The NDC flag bearer, in his interaction with the media on Sunday, described the Chief Justice's approach as unusual. We'll hear from the NDC flag bearer shortly, but first, this is the Chief Justice Getu Tokono herself on the need for more justices.
This court has to, there are several cases pending, right? That's why we need more Supreme Court judges. Discussion must be placed in context.
It also have been very wonderful to see three chambers of the Supreme Court sitting at the same time. One in the old Supreme Court upstairs, and then perhaps
you should build a new Supreme Court building for the nation.
Right.
Or the Minister of Finance should.
And that there is the Chief Justice in conversation with the Attorney General Godfrey Obadami, who himself today have been backing the Chief Justice, saying the determination of the number of justices of the Supreme Court at any point in time is a function of the administration of justice and the needs of the court. In his brief on the need for a minimum number of 20 judges on the Ghana Supreme Court, the AG suggested an enactment of regulations by the judiciary to rather govern the exercise of the multiplicity of jurisdictions conferred on Ghana's Supreme Court, instead of capping the number of justices to 15. And Mr. Dami says a proposed constitutional amendment would ensure that the Court of Appeal will be the final appellate court in most cases, and that the cases covered by the original jurisdiction of the Supreme Court should be subject to the leave of the Supreme Court itself. Now, head of our legal affairs desk, Richard Kodonyako, joins me in the studio with details of the brief from the Attorney General. First of all, what does this brief from the Attorney General really contain? What does it really mean?
Well, so Evans, the brief provides statistics on the number of justices of the Supreme Court, cases filed, cases concluded, and cases pending in the five-year period, that is 2018 to 2023. So the Attorney General says, even though Clause 1 of Article 128 of the Constitution stipulates a minimum of 10 justices, including the Chief Justice for the Supreme Court, the number of justices for the court is not capped. He notes that the framers of the Constitution consciously envisioned the need to impose an upper limit on the number of justices of the highest court of the land, providing the opportunity for an increase, as may be stated by the demand for justice. Thus, in the absence of a constitutionally determined upper threshold of the number of justices of the Supreme Court, the determination of the number of justices serving on the court at any point in time would be a function of the administration of justice and the need of the court. And so that is what is contained in the brief.
Well, does this brief also contain the Chief Justice's detailed justification?
Yes. So the Chief Justice's brief provides graphic statistics covering a five-year period from October 2018 to October 2023 of cases pending at the court at the beginning of each legal year, matters filed during each legal year, matters concluded each legal year, cases pending at the end of each legal year, and the rate of conclusion of cases. So while the statistics reveal a general exponential increase in the cases before the court over the years under consideration, there is a decreasing trend of cases concluded across the years under review. So whereas there were 761, 869, 906, 799 and 939 cases before the court in the year 2018, 2019, up to 2023 legal years respectively. The court concluded that 559 cases with 14 justices, 653 cases with 18 justices, 694 cases with 16 justices, 385 cases with 14 justices, and 344 cases with 12 justices in the respective legal year. So the domino effect of this, Evans, is that the backlog of 202, 216, 221, 414, and 419 cases in the respective legal years, conclusive with the number of justices of the Supreme Court for the years under review. And so this is a catalog of the number of backlog cases that the Supreme Court has, hence the need for more justices to be appointed to the Supreme Court.
And the advice of the AG is simply to...
Well, so given the breadth of the multiplicity of jurisdiction of the Supreme Court and influx of cases at the Supreme Court, the request for the increase in the number of justices serving on the Supreme Court from the conventional 15, in addition to the Chief Justice, to 20, is not only constitutional, but would ensure speedy and effective justice, minimize delays and unnecessary expenses in the legal regime. And so that is what the AG is recommending.
Well, we've been hearing from the majority leader also in Parliament on this, Alexander Afenyo-Markin. He's also been defending the Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo, even though critics have said it is not the responsibility of the CJ to be recommending names to the president. Listen to him speak to journalists.
We become aware that the Chief Justice has mooted a proposal to expand the Supreme Court to 20 judges for efficiency and effectiveness. Some people are saying that the Chief Justice does not have such a mandate to do so. We disagree and would say that per Article 1254 of the Constitution, there are some inherent powers provided for in this provision that allows the Chief Justice, as a chief executive and head of the judiciary, to make such proposals. Quote, the Chief Justice shall, subject to this constitution, be head of the judiciary and shall be responsible for the administration and supervision of the judiciary. The question is, what constitutes administration and supervision? When somebody is in charge of the management of a body, he is able to determine how to run the place efficiently, what would make the work of that institution be properly done, and to make proposals within the context of the law.
That's Majority Leader Alexander Afenyo-Markin. Well, we've been hearing from the NDC flag bearer John Mahama in his interaction with the media last night. He described the Chief Justice move as irregular.
The issue of judges, I believe that our constitution gives the judiciary certain privileges. They are the only arm of government that does not renew its mandate. They don't go for elections to be re-elected as judges, and they're given security of tenure. I think that the obligation and responsibility of every president is to appoint fair-minded people. Human beings, as we are, would have our own inclinations towards one party or towards one religion or towards one culture or other. There are many things that make us who we are, but the obligation on when you become a judge is to look at the cold, hard facts and rule based on that. Some of the pushback that we're seeing currently is the penchant by this president to pack the courts. And only recently, you've seen what happened. And I can't understand why the Chief Justice will be the one recommending, you know, which judges to appoint. The Constitution is clear. That is the president who appoints judges in consultation with the advice of the judiciary. And so the initiative to appoint judges must come from the president and submitted to the Judicial Council. It brings it back with advice to the president, and the president forwards it to Parliament. That is the procedure. It is very weird that this time The recommendation comes from the Chief Justice to the President. And even the issue of capping the number of judges, the Constitutional Review Committee recommended that we cap Supreme Court judges at 15. And so the issue of capping the Supreme Court is not for the Chief Justice to say. We will resurrect the constitutional review process when I become president. And when we do that, we will put it to the Ghanaian people whether we should retain the 15, whether we should reduce it, or whether we should increase it.
And that is John Mahama. I want to bring in the spokesperson for the Ghana Bar Association, Xavier Kuja, joins us on the line right now. Xavier, where does the GBA stand on this subject?
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. I don't think that the Chief Justice has done anything wrong by making a request for the number of the conventional 15 of justices that we have at the Supreme Court to be expanded to 20. I say this because the Constitution gives us a minimum. 9 justices together with the Chief Justice making 10, which means that at every given time, as a nation, we can decide to review it at the numbers upward. Now, we agree with the Chief Justice's request in principle because the brief was supported with statistics that we had seen, very startling statistics. So our recommendation was that, yes, if this is what is happening there by way of workload, for instance, then there will be the need to have additional 5, making it 20 as she requested. Yet, as to whether it should happen now or not is another matter. That is why we went further to say that because we have been operating with a certain conventional number and we want to increase that number, let us have further consultation by involving Parliament and Council of State. That was our recommendation. And we made other recommendations such as the Supreme Court should be automated for real-time reporting.
Yes, Xavier. So the GBA is not opposed to the recommendation to increase the number of justices on the Supreme Court. But what about the procedure that the Chief Justice initiated?
The procedure, I must admit, that is not what is normally done. What is done is that the 3 recommending bodies, the GBA, the Attorney General's Office, the CJ's Office, we bring various lists submitted to the Judicial Council. Judicial Council will now send the names with an advice to the President. The President will now decide to appoint everybody else on that list, or some of them, or to reject the list, everybody else there. Just that he doesn't also have the right to prepare his own list. You have to get back to the Judicial Council for the process to begin all over.
And did you get clarity on why the departure? Although the law is very clear on this, on the procedure.
Well, I think that it's just a simple mistake. That's the way I should think. That's the way I should think. Because I am not sure that it was intentional. These things happen sometimes.
Xavier, thank you very much. And Xavier will join me on PM Express. We're going to unpack this a bit more. And I know MFI and others have similar questions on this. And even more questions, really, now that we know that the GBA also believes the procedure was unconstitutional, as has been said. I mean, it's unusual. The John Mahama says it's pretty rare and strange. Many have used other words, unconstitutional, etc. We'll try and unpack that. And then we'll also all look at the... So what exactly do we have when it comes to the numbers? Does the statistics really back the need for more judges to the Supreme Court bench? Join us on PM Express. It's at 9 p.m. later tonight and across many social media platforms. George Yaffe is here with Business. After George is done, we'll bring you a latest episode in our thirsty communities. You really want to stay for that. Hello, George.
Hi, Evans, and coming up, we have details on mid-year budget review as Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam works to present estimates to Parliament in fourth week of this month. And economist Professor Peter Korte describes as major boost for the economy following bilateral creditors' approval of government Eurobond deal. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks and Pepsodent
have these actors.
And that is a business tax report. Meanwhile, the finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, has ruled out any plan to seek approval to spend fresh revenue that has come in.
We'll be providing details on the data during the mid-year budget. But just to satisfy the curiosity of my friend, let me read this for you. So provisional data for January to May 2024 showed that total revenue and grants at the end of the period amounted to 58.8 billion Ghana cedis, 4.5% below the program target, okay? And we are doing the mid-year in July. So if you see June data, then you will notice that revenue hasn't done bad. The funds we are receiving from the fund is for financing. If you look at the budget, you have revenue, you have financing, and you have also loans and grants. So this is coming to support the finances, which has already been factored in the 2024 budget. So we are not doing, I don't want to announce that we are doing supplementary budget or not.
Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam. Economist Professor Peter Korte is confident progress made on the external debt negotiations could fast-track the process to restore investor confidence. It is coming after the country's bilateral creditors through the official credit committee approved terms that Ghana has reached with the Eurobond holders to restructure $13.1 billion. Professor Peter Korte tells Joy Besson the city could be a major beneficiary.
So now government is certain about what it owes and how it's going to pay. Investors, including Eurobond holders, also know how much haircut, how much sacrifice they have to make, and also the certainty of getting their resources. And I believe for you and I as well, because once there is certainty, you see some stability in the exchange rate, you see stability in the overall macroeconomy. So I think for all of us, that brings some good signal.
Economist Professor Peter Korte. Now, cement manufacturers have revealed that they would move fast to engage government on the new regulations targeted at pricing of their products. It's coming after the Trade Minister, Katie Amund, was able to lay before Parliament the legislative instrument that seeks to ensure that there's more transparency in pricing of the product. Dr. Dawson Amwa is Chief Executive of the Chamber of Cement Manufacturers. He's been talking about how this could also hurt the industry.
I have said it earlier that the thought into the LI for regulating cement, in fact, I beg to say, will be more politically motivated, than economic. More. Like the team or the heading for the discussion now, is Ghana ready for it? Economically, Ghana is not ready for it at all.
Dr. Dawson Amwa is the Chief Executive of the Chamber of Cement Manufacturers. Now, food manufacturing giant Primasdor Ghana has assured consumers of improved safety to avoid causing health challenges on their products. Managing Director of the company, Festo Cite, gave the assurance after receiving the latest version of the International Food Safety System Certification in line with its goal of enhancing food safety practice and sustainable development goals. He's been engaging some select journalists during a short ceremony to receive this certification from SGS Ghana.
These are one of the biggest costs of medical health, even in Africa, and not only Africa, but across the world. And therefore, whatever you put in your mouth is very, very important. What we are assuring the consumer in Ghana is saying that you have a world-class system, food safety system in place that assures you that whatever you buy from us is produced under the highest hygienic and food safety standards, to ensure that you are not buying ailment for yourself, but you are buying nourishment for yourself. And that's why our consumers ought to be excited. And they are the reason for our being. They are the reason why we are a business. Without them, we don't exist. And that's why we go the extra mile and ensure that we are continually looking at ways to improve our safety systems.
Director of Promastador Ghana, Festus Tete, and that's all for business on Newsnight.
And Ms. Bao is here with the latest from the world of sports. Hello, Ms. Bao.
Yeah, hello, Evans. Well, just following that media engagement by the NDC flag bearer, John Mahama, he made some revelation relative to sports investment. He did promise that he will invest in sports, however shied away from prioritizing the construction of new stadia. Now, the country currently have some 6 stadiums, with only 3 of them in a better state for use for competitive football. That's University of Ghana Stadium, Babayaro, and the Accra Sports Stadium. Now, the former president, who had earlier promised to help the construction of stadium across the various districts, said if elected this time round, he'll prioritize the renovation of same. Here is him at the engagement that was held earlier on Sunday.
In the current crisis in which we are, I would not stand here and promise that we will build a new stadium. But I've said that under the big push, we intend to spend a certain amount of money over 5 years on providing a good infrastructure to include roads, bridges, agro-industrial parks, and so on and so forth. That could include sports facilities. And if we make allocation, then we probably would look at providing such a stadium.
Well, we went out to speak to some Ghanaians on this promise by the former president not to construct new stadia, and this is what the Ghanaians had to say.
You're looking at the status of our stadiums in this particular country, you realize that we would need a world-class stadium as well to be able to supplement the ones that we currently have. So I feel that in as much as you would want to renovate this one, you would have to get us a world-class stadium that would be able to satisfy each and every game that we play, just like Pate had asked the vice president some time ago.
I will forget more stadium. You see, I wish it's the players calm down, then go take off the pitch, you know, where the players, now don't they feel, say them go play their matches, then things, because in club, them are club teams where them they play, you know, them they play for good turf, top, where if they can Ghana, maybe green grass, sand, then other things, so they're not the feet play the football where we say them go feel.
Yeah, that's the voices of some Ghanaians over there on that promise by the former president, shying away from the construction of a new stadium due to the current economic crisis. But Crackgrove Olympics, following their relegation to Division 1, they have dissolved their technical team and the management. In a statement they put out earlier today, they say that a subcommittee of the board of directors of the club, constituted by the following directors, have been appointed to administer the club until further notice. They include Mr. Kwame Ansah Tetchi, Mr. Kujo Fianu, and Mr. Oluboy Commodore. Now, the statement adds that new management and technical team will be constituted and announced in due course. They did end by saying that the board of directors are appreciative of the support of the entire group of the supporters group during the campaign, and will work towards returning to the Ghanaian top flight come next season. Evans, that's it for sports.
Well, thank you very much. We're looking forward to the semi-finals in the Euros tomorrow. We have commentary?
Yeah, we've got commentary on Wednesday, rather. But tomorrow, Tuesday, big game coming up. And it's going to be Spain versus France. Not sure who you're tipping.
Goodness me, that's France.
Mouth-watering
contest.
On Wednesday, we're going to see England versus the Netherlands.
Okay. Yeah. We'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
It's a live your news night. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. To our Thirsty Communities series now, and residents of Ave in the whole municipality of the Volta region are suffering the brunt of inadequate potable water. Folks in the community rely heavily on a single borehole, complemented by a well and a stream, which dries up during the Harmattan season. Traditional authorities there have appealed for support to provide a mechanized borehole to serve the community. Fred Kwame Asari has the rest of the story.
The Ave traditional area, which has a population of about 2,000, constitutes two communities, Ave Bogame and Ave Toko. The traditional area is faced with the inadequacy of potable water, as both communities are served with just one borehole. In Bogame, the residents fall on water from this well, and the rains are supplementary sources. Though the water is clean, it has some salt content in it. During my childhood, we relied on streams in the bushes until they constructed the wall for us. But the population has increased. The boreholes constructed were not producing water. We are suffering and appealing to the government for help. The situation is more dire in Avetoko, where three boreholes constructed in the community have run faulty. The residents partly survive on a stream on the outskirts of the community, which contains unwholesome water. The women fetch the water in tanks to avoid muddying it. When it stops raining, we have to dredge the area for water, or else we won't get water to use at home. This borehole facility, which was constructed by an individual to operate on a commercial basis, is poor and hence unable to produce water. The lack of enough potable water has been a source of worry to traditional and political authorities in the Ave traditional area. We are so much in need of potable water. When a treatment plant is installed on the well and mechanized, our problem will be solved, or they can extend the water at Shan to our community. The Ave traditional area is appealing to the government to help the community. It appears Ave traditional area is not part of Ghana because other communities are being provided with potable water. The authorities are hoping the government, philanthropists or non-governmental organizations would come to their aid to resolve the century-old challenge of lack of enough potable water. Fred Kwame Asari, Joy News, Ave.
Yes, and that's Ave. Ave is in which region?
It's in Volta region. And whole.
We're going to stay in the Volta region, right? For
should
a
we?
While
why,
longer
why
on NSMQ. And a certain school. What's the name of the school, by the way?
Through no fault of theirs.
I see.
And maybe some bad officiating at some point.
So you need VR?
Yes, we need VR.
I'm going to leave you to tell the story.
Which story?
The story we're
no
about to
story
tell.
Story will be told. This evening.
By the way, just for the records, which school did you attend for your senior high?
Ola.
Ola.
Yes.
Okay.
But there are a lot of Ola.
Ah. Oh, really?
Yes. There are different Ola.
Where else do you have Ola in?
Oh, there's some in Cape Coast. There's some in Cape Coast. You know, yeah. Okay. Kenya. Okay. See, there's okay. A number of
and
Ola.
And which of the Ola is contested in the NSMQ today?
I can't see well.
You can't see well. Let me help you out. The same Ola you attended. They failed to qualify for the first time after a shocking defeat. A shocking defeat. You know why? Because they were defeated by a Category C school. Please mention the name for me. Mention the name of the school.
Peje.
Peje. Have you heard that name before?
Yeah.
Okay, where is that?
Something in the water region.
And look, in fact, I'm going to take my kids to Peje after this because they just beat you. That's all I want to do. Listen to what happened. In this particular contest.
And I'm feeling so bad, but we give thanks to God for all that he has done for us. And we know that we'll be coming back next year with full vim.
What went wrong?
I don't actually know, but I think we didn't do our work well. We didn't prepare well. So we'll go back to do our work well so that next year there will be no chance for any school.
I also actually don't know, but for me, we didn't do our homework well. So next year we'll come back with much vim so that we emerge victorious by the grace of God.
Could it be complacency?
No, can't tell.
As the saying goes, no glory is won without struggling. As we live here, you are going to struggle. And as we are struggling, we only hope for the best. So,
you know what is ahead?
I know.
That it will be tough?
Yes. So that is when our struggles are going to increase. So there's more work to do.
Yes, MFA Paul.
And they didn't go anywhere. They just beat us. Regionals, they didn't go anywhere. But this one, we have to look into it.
I am sending
my
kids.
This is the very first time Ola Girls has not qualified. And
yes.
Surprising.
No, it's not surprising at all.
There's some intimidating tactics somewhere.
It's been coming. It's long overdue. Please. You know, somehow you manage to just scrape through like the way we're seeing the English do in the Euros. And eventually you meet your meter Category C school. In fact, I'm sending my kids there.
Peje Senior High School. Yeah. Like, where are they, Grapple?
Yeah. I'm sending my kids
interesting.
There. Like, congratulations to them. You can't even say congratulations to them.
To who?
To
the school.
But I think Zico also deserves some congratulations in all this.
Yes. And better luck next time.
We'll come back stronger and better.
I see.
It's not the end. It's just a competition.
It's just a competition. You were just shouting last week that you're going to win this. You're out already. Anyway, better luck next time to all those former students of Ola, including your own MFA Pau. Enjoy the rest of your evening. My name is Evan Spencer.
We have a message to the future president. That's my opinion, Nana Nsakwa, coming your way all the way from the United Kingdom.